All right. Welcome in. Toilets to Titles, episode number 50. The big 50. It's a big milestone for us. With me this morning, my guy, my main man since day one, the dude who we came together, we put this thing together, we built a little something, something, we got something good going. It's my guy, Justin Stevens at Justin FF underscore Justin. How are we feeling this morning?
Coach, episode 50, man, we have a lot of like extra little bonus episodes out there too, but like 50 official episodes. So it feels pretty good. And we've only been doing this for about a year. So, you know, one show per week on average, maybe even a little more than that. So, it's been a really quick year. I'll tell you that, like, if you look back on it now, you wouldn't think that, but, as far as the fantasy world goes, and as far as this podcasting goes, I think it flew by for sure.
Time flies when you're having fun, man.
Right.
And we had a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun now too, you know, with the rest of the crew. You know, we decided this off season we wanted to add some team members. And we have some guys who've been following the show, been a big part, you know, the Frankenstein League and overall good dudes who we kind of brought them on the team. The team's growing a little bit, so we're going to be putting out more content this off season. We're going to have two additional Frankenstein Leagues this off season. We're already starting to work on filling those, you know, changing the rules, adjusting them, and we got a few things going on. So it's exciting. I'm excited, but I'm also proud to say, like, no matter what, you know, I've been a part of like three other podcasts. You know, they've started and they stopped, and no matter what, because there really is no end game. Like, we're just doing this for fun. But no matter what, we got 50. You know, we can look back and say, you know, we got 50 episodes. We've had fun. And we've had some great guests on. Speaking of great guests, we're going to bring on a guy shortly, but I do want to give a title introduction. Guys, you can go find me on Twitter at Coach Sheps. Again, Justin is at Justin FF underscore. Nate the Dirt Man is at Nate underscore Dirt 19. Ben is at Live from the Ben. Matt at Matt Chew, like a chew, like sneezing, M-A-T-C-H-H-O-O. Rich Gonzalez, who just dropped into the chat. He's going to be helping me on one of the Frankenstein Leagues this year. R. Gonzalez, R-M. And the show is at Toilets to Titles. Man, that intro's gotten longer. I think that's how it goes, right? When you add names, it definitely gets longer. And then also you can listen to the show. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Podbean, Spotify. On Facebook, we're in two Facebook groups, the Toilets to Titles group and my sports cards memorabilia trading group, When a Family Breaks. And we're also on YouTube. So we'd really appreciate it, no matter how you're listening to us, if you don't mind going to YouTube, hitting the subscribe button, you know, going and liking a few episodes, throwing in some good comments, you know, all that good stuff just to help us out. I think our last episode is at like 90 views on YouTube, the one where we went over that 5-round rookie mock. So if you don't mind helping us get that over 100, that'd be great to hit that milestone. We really appreciate that. Also, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, you know, throw us a 5-star review. And if you want to get in the Frankenstein League, send us a screen cap. We already had one guy, so we got one listener so far who's already entered. We also have a friend of the show, Kyle Bellafuel. He's one of the newest guys to be in the Frankenstein League. He's going to be joining one of the two new ones. So if you want to get in, go ahead, throw us a 5-star review and DM us on Twitter a picture of that. And we'll lock you in. We'll add you to the notes so we know that you are in to the Frankenstein League. So that's the easiest way to get in. All right. So without further ado, made him wait way too long. It's not nice to make a greatness wait, right? And that the greatness is sitting in the waiting booth right now. That's Shane Hallam at Shane P. Hallam. Let's bring him.
Hey guys, how's it going? I appreciate you having me. It's always fun to hop on with you two. You know, look, Frankenstein League. I undefeated regular season, lost in the championship. It was a hard one for me. But I'll be back this year too, and hoping to take that title down.
Yeah, last year was a great year for you, man. Like undefeated in Frank, you didn't win it, but you were undefeated, which is something you can always say. You can look back and say, I was undefeated in the inaugural Frankenstein League. Also, with your NFL mock draft, you were the highest, like your predictions. Tell us a little bit about that. I know you've talked about that on the show before, but for those people that are new, tell them how spot on you were with your mock draft selections last year?
So the basically, I entered two different contests with my mock. The Huddle Report, I tied for eighth in terms of most accurate, you know, first round. So that was above guys like, you know, Mel Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah. And then for Fantasy Pros, it was out of 635 people, I think. I placed like 10th, which is pretty good. And then the top 100 contest for the Huddle Report, which is basically like trying to guess who's going to go in the top 100, right? Who's going to be the top 100 prospects. I had 85 out of 100. I was number one. The most. So that was the second time I've won that. And that's exciting to get a little multi-title there the too. So time. I think the
second time we've won that.
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think what I could look real quick. What year was the first one? Like, I come out with just these good years kind of all around, right? When you feel like you really hit things pretty hard and pretty well. So yeah, I'd won in 2015 as well. So 2015, 2020.
Shane's a winner. All he does is win, no matter what. And luckily, we've got him on as a friend of the show. And if you're a gambling person and you're doing prop bets around the NFL draft, he's probably somebody you want to listen to because he's pretty close. I do want to find out how many quarterbacks are going in the first round, but we're going to talk about that a little later on because that's a prop bet that I'm definitely going to play. All right, but before we go on any further, I do want to let everybody know today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to PrimetimeSportsTalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, PrimetimeSportsTalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. All right, Shane, I didn't really finish your introduction because I was really kind of so geeked out about having you on and talking about your winnings.
For episode 50, we couldn't have asked for a better guest to come on, Shane, because you've been a huge supporter since day one. I believe you were, if not the first guest, one of the first guests. So it's very fitting to have you on for episode 50. Honestly, if it were any other guest, or most other guests, I should say, I'd probably have slept in this morning because I don't know enough about this topic. So we're going to let you and John do what you and John do because it's always a fun episode to watch you two.
So. Yeah, no, cool. I appreciate it. It's like I said, you guys have been doing well from day one too. I'm glad to see the growth of the show too. It's been awesome.
Here we are. So before we go into your latest mock, you have a 7-round mock that I'll share in the show notes over at fakepigskin.com. Before we get into that, I have a few questions. Okay, first one, not necessarily is a question, more so a statement. But you just finished your rankings. You watched over 600 players. Talk about it, man. Tell us about it. Tell us about your process.
So this year especially, it was a goal of mine to, it's always a goal to watch every player that's going to get drafted. And this year was a year where it feels much more obtainable because of, you know, all the seniors for the NCAA could go back to school. So we have a much better idea of who is in the draft and who's not than a lot of years. You have, you know, there's always someone from a smaller school and whatever. That's what I'm hoping for. That's always my goal, is that I've watched every player's going to get drafted. I could talk about every player that got drafted and most undrafted free agents. I just finished yesterday finishing a couple players who had either kind of slipped through the cracks or were super small school or Canadian, or, you know, there's always a couple random things. This goes back to, you know, I've been watching a lot of these players for years since high school. Some of them, you know, I've been assessing the Jamar Chases and Terrace Marshalls and, you know, those players. I watched their tape in high school to get an idea for Devy leagues. And now it's kind of coming to fruition, which is always exciting. So, it can get a little bit weird at the end. Probably the weirdest thing this year, I watched some Chilean basketball yesterday. We have a prospect who has not played football and has only played basketball in Chile. So, and graded out as the most athletic tight end ever. So that's always fun. There's always, you know,
more athletic than the UCF kid that everyone's kind of going goo-goo over right now, the 6'5" guy.
Yeah. In terms of Kent's RAS, yeah, he's a little bit more, but he's not going to get drafted. He's never played football in his life, but it's still fun to, you know, watch those players. We watched rugby a couple years ago, and there's always something weird that pops up that you have to watch. Be like, I don't know what I'm watching, but I'll try to make an assessment there.
That's fun. So this year, I didn't put this question on the notes, but who's this year's Kyle Duggar, man? Lenore Ryan, like somebody from a small school that no one really knows about that, there's not a lot of film out there on him, like, or it's hard to watch, but is there a Kyle Duggar this year?
I think there is. I think just however you want to stretch it a little bit. I mean, I think Quinn Miners from UW Whitewater, right? And he went to the Senior Bowl, so I think he's well-known enough. But he's going to go potentially in the top 50, definitely in the top, 80 or so. And he's my number two rated center. I have him, over Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma, Josh Myers from Ohio State. I think he's a better player than those prospects. So in terms of most people don't know what Wisconsin Whitewater or have ever seen that school, which those Wisconsin schools produce good talents. But I think he's going to be a day one starter and be like really, really good. So I think that's probably my best comp right now.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. What players did you most enjoy watching? So not necessarily like the top guys, like not saying, who were the best players. Who were the players that you kind of enjoyed watching the most? And again, you don't necessarily think are going to be, elite players. You just enjoyed their film.
Yeah, I think there's definitely – I always enjoy watching some of those some of the smaller school players that you see really excel. Always kind of excites me, like Cade Johnson from South Dakota State. He got drafted late. He's not, a super athlete. But I think just watching a player really dominate their competition, it was – watching Jamar Chase at LSU, you get to see him dominate really good competition. But a lot of times these smaller school players like Kay Johnson, Quinn Miners at UW Whitewater, I like watching players just be at the top of the group that they're playing against. And then trying to take that kind of assessment and turn into a grade is always tough. But those guys are fun. Another player that I like to watch that really hit me was Jordan Smith at UAB, was a transfer former Florida high school player that transferred there. And he just I like these kind of big pass rushers sometimes. Sometimes I get a little too high on the big guys but he has that kind of size and step and just was whipping people in some of those games. To me, that's fun. Even if he's not the best prospect or player, I really like it. And then my last one is Trill Williams, the corner from Syracuse. Just a playmaker, the nose for the football, like making plays, picking off Trevor Lawrence. He made some fun plays. So sometimes you see some of those big splash plays and it's all like, oh, this guy's a first rounder. But it becomes really fun to watch. You just want to keep watching more games, try to catch another one of those.
That's how it was for me this year with Tolanoa Hufanga from USC. I every year I fall in love with safeties who just have a nose for the football. You know what I mean? And it doesn't always work out. I just like watching them. I like watching the way they play. Like Buda Baker a few years back, really high on him and that panned out. But then, Blair from Utah, I believe he went to Utah, Ronald Blair, not so much, but I enjoy the way he played this year. It's Talanoa Hufanga. I really enjoy that cat. Now with Dallas, bringing in Keanu Neal, And he only a 1-year deal though. So, maybe we'll be able to get him in the third round or so, but that's a guy I enjoyed watching this year. You kind of discussed it a little bit, what players you enjoyed watching, but what players, grew on you as the process went on, guys you thought maybe you didn't have them so high, but the more you watched them kind of climbed up your list.
When you sent me this question, the first player that jumped out was Tommy Tremble, the tight end from Notre Dame. He's a player that, like, I watched kind of initially. His name was on the list, and there wasn't a ton there to watch, especially in terms of playmaking for him. So I was like, oh, well, you know, this guy's kind of, he had 19 catches this year. Like, he was the backup to a freshman. Do I really want to, I had him pretty low. And then as his name was starting to gather a little bit of, a little bit of buzz, I went back and watched him, just really watched traits more than trying to see him make plays. And that's when he really grew on me. So he's a player I made. He's my tight end four, but I made the prediction that he would be the second tight end off the board in the draft, a bold prediction. He probably won't be. He'll probably be third. But yeah, as Joseph said, Notre Dame knows how to do tight ends. Like, they do that well. And then Elijah Moore from Mississippi, who's, potential first round pick, had an excellent year. But I definitely played into his weight, I think, a little bit too much early on. And, going back, especially going back to, like, early college for him, I watched some of those top guys. I like to try to watch a couple games from each year if I can. If it's early enough, I have the time. And so just seeing his development, like, he was really good as a freshman. And that's usually a good indication the player's going to be good, in the NFL. Like, if you're doing that as a freshman at 18, probably going to be good. So he definitely grew on me. He's up to my wide receiver six, and I think first-round picks in his range.
Joseph was asking thoughts on Cisco from Syracuse.
I think it's going to be tough for him. he's a player who is, like, has those statistics. One of those playmaking safeties, right, that we were talking about before. He's good at, I think, reading the quarterback and, figuring out, what's going to happen and making a play on the ball, but he has good size, and that's about it. I think he's so stiff. Just sideline to sideline, I think, is really, really tough for him. He doesn't get really good burst going. So he's a player I had very high early in the process from last year, and I've dropped him down. He's my 10th safety, and I think he could go a little bit higher than that. I'm not saying he's going to quite go that low. I probably, think he'll go over a couple of the guys I have higher, but I don't think he's going to be a good pro. I don't think he's going to be someone that's going to really flash and be, a good starter, and definitely not for fantasy purposes either.
All right. So what players that you watched disappointed you the most? Like, maybe you heard some buzz about them, you were expecting to enjoy their film, you put it on, and you were disappointed. What players were those?
Kamorian Terry is definitely the guy that I think a lot of us came in very high on, myself included. And I thought this year was just kind of disastrous for him. He had a couple nice plays, but I really just started, moving him down. Like, it was, okay, he could go in the first round before this year. And it was, wow, he's a day two pick. It's pretty good. And then it's, wow, he couldn't put it together. Florida State was a disaster. Day three, you might get some upside. And now it's like, well, he'll probably get drafted, hopefully. I think the athletic profile is going to get him drafted, and rightfully so. He's my wide receiver 23 when before the season he was in the top 10. And that's, that's a pretty big drop off. So I still have a little bit of hope. But, him. And then Kylan Hill, the running back from Mississippi State, which might be a little bit controversial because I know there's a lot of people that like him, and I still like him. But he just disappointed me in terms of seeing that pure upside. I really wanted to see the explosion. I really wanted to see someone that could be I felt a three down, like, productive running back. And maybe it was the Mike Leach offense. Like, there's a lot of reasons why. The couple games this year, he was catching passes, which was nice. I mean, that's what we kind of expected in that offense to happen. But he almost looked, I thought a touch slower. So he's my RB 13. I think he'll go much higher than that. I do think the NFL is going to like him, but but he's kind of one of those players like everyone's talking about, like this could be a stud running back, and I just didn't see it. I still haven't. So, you know, I could definitely be wrong there, but he's a player that probably disappointed me more than I thought he would.
All right, so Terry and Kylan Hill. And Matt has a question. He's in the chat right now. He said he really enjoys your work. But he wants to know, what are you doing with Brevin Jordan? His RAS was talked about in the last Debbie Marketplace episode, but he wants to hear your thoughts on him. What are you doing with him?
I love Brevin Jordan. I think he's a really good player.
Last time you were on the show, you had him ahead of Pitts.
I did.
And I believe you. I'm with you.
I mean, after that pro day, I had to change it. Like, you know, I just can't realistically keep him above Pitts. And you look at the tight ends that are really good in the NFL. On one side, you could say, well, none of them really drafted that high. None of them were first round picks. On the other side, you could say, well, all of them were really good athletes, though. So I think that's the issue with Brevin Jordan. I'm going to keep him as my tight end too. The speed is fine. You know, it matches up with his size. The 40 time wasn't bad. It was more the agility drills. And there was some talk. Yeah, he was falling over. He was stumbling over cones. I don't know. We didn't get to see it this year, right? The combine I would have been able to actually watch and see. So I guess I still hold a little bit of hope that those numbers may be incorrect.
Maybe the Monstars, like, stole his talent. If he was stumbling over cones, it doesn't – you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't sound – stumbling over cones makes it a little suspicious.
And it might have been a preparation issue as well, working on the 40 and not the three cone, things like that. But to me, it's going to just be better value for me in fantasy drafts. Kyle Pitts has to be number one, and Brevin Jordan's still number two. I think he could be the seventh tight end off the board, though. It wouldn't surprise me to see a fall Brevin Jordan to the fifth or even sixth round of the draft. And
he came out saying that the Dallas Cowboys love him. I don't know if you saw that. He was quoted. So he might be a Cowboy in the future.
There might not be a better spot for him to go, to be honest with you.
A lot of guys also just say the Cowboys love them because it puts them in the news and then it raises their stock. I mean, I'm not kidding. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Agents do that left and right. Or the Cowboys are interested. They never call nothing, but puts them in the news. It gets their clients some buzz. So maybe he's just a smart guy. But he's also, you know, not super athletic. So you can't have it all. You know what I mean? Can't have it all. All right, we're going to get into some draft talk. I'm going to ask you some questions at the end of the show, but I do want to get into this draft discussion. We're about 20 minutes in, and I think it's a great time to get going with this. We're going to talk about the first round, okay? So I'm going to read through the first four picks here, okay? We got Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville. Pretty vanilla. That's standard. Zach Wilson going to the Jets, also pretty standard. But after this is where the questions come in. At three, you've got Trey Lance going to San Francisco, which I enjoy. And you have then Jalen Phillips going to Atlanta at four. So that one is very bold. I enjoy that one greatly. So tell me about your first four here. What are your thoughts?
I think Lawrence and Wilson are locked in to the top two. I think that's done. I think for San Francisco, it is going to be a question of which of those three quarterbacks they want. Is it going to be Mac Jones? Is it going to be Justin Fields? Is it going to be a Trey Lance? And I mean, the Mac Jones buzz since I released this has been growing. I think I'm definitely leaning a little bit more in on Mac Jones going there. It just, to me, seems really dumb for the 49ers to have traded all that to get, you know, kind of an average quarterback.
I love it for Lance, though. I love it for Lance and Fields.
I think if the 49ers, if it was me, I mean, I'd take Justin Fields. He's my quarterback too. But I think Trey Lance.
Let him go to a better team. I think it's much better for him.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, with Carolina now kind of out of the mix too.
Imagine him with Sutton and Judy and Fant, like. Denver's a great landing spot.
Look, it'd be nice. I'm interested to see what teams, you know, are still going to be interested to, like New England, Washington. You know, we'll see if Denver. If Denver is, I agree. I mean, that's almost an ideal spot now with Carolina out for Fields. I would love that. So if San Francisco takes Mac Jones at three, You know, but I think Trey Lance would be an excellent fit. And then the Atlanta pick at four. Atlanta just needs defense really, really badly at every spot. And number four is a terrible place to draft defense. So it's why I really think they're going to move down. I know probably if they stick there, I guess quarterback is probably the pick. But to me, it feels like their owner is getting older. They probably still think they can win a Super Bowl. I know they're picking fourth, but it feels like ownership there feels like they can win a Super Bowl. They still have Matt Ryan. They still have Julio Jones, right? We still have this core. Matt Ryan hasn't played bad. So do you really want to just take a pick that's not going to help you this year? For us, for fantasy perhaps. But, I think he's played well enough. That defense is god awful. So I don't project trades. It's just too hard trying to do compensation. And, I just don't do it. So I think moving down and taking Jalen Phillips, who is, crushed his pro day, one of the best athletic linemen in this class.
Super five-star recruit, too, coming out of high school.
Yeah, to UCLA. Had some character stuff and transferred and had that year with Miami. He just, sacks abound. I don't think he's good against the run. I think he's terrible against the run. If you watch that game against North Carolina, he was a big part of the problem. Teams don't seem to care as much about that as I do. So I think we could see. I think we see, let's say, Atlanta move down to, to nine with Denver. I think Jalen Phillips at nine would be it would be very fitting.
Or 15 with New England. I think there's a possibility New England moves up. All right, so there we go. There's your top four. Now, 5 through 8 is pretty loaded, very loaded. We got Penei Sewell, arguably the best lineman in this class, and I think it's been, I think that's been the verdict for quite some time. Kyle Pitts going to the Dolphins, Ja'Marr Chase going to Detroit, and then Justin Fields going to Carolina, which is still a possibility, with Darnold. They did pick up his fifth-year option, but, competition, I think they're going to move on from Bridgewater, so that's definitely a possibility. But let me hear your 5 through 8. What's your analysis?
Yeah, I Penei Sewell to Cincinnati, I think it's the pick they should make. Do I think it's the pick they will make? I don't know. It seems like they might be leaning in more into Pitts or Chase lately too, but I think it could be smoke. I think they could just not want someone to get Sewell. They need offensive line badly, but this is a deeper class. So I could understand them picking an offensive weapon and then taking offensive lineman there. I think if Kyle Pitts is sitting there at 6, I think it's going to be hard for Miami to pass on him. I know they have Mike Gesicki, and he kind of plays a little bit of that role that I would want Pitts to play. But there's no reason you can't have two of those on the field and essentially, play Pitts a little bit in line, a little bit in the slot, a little bit outside.
They watched their opponent do it very well for a few years up there in the AFC East. So, and also they have a head coach who's off the Bill Belichick tree. So, I don't think it's too crazy to think so.
Yeah. You can make that guy work, right? You can make Kyle Pitts' athleticism work. And I think if he's not there, then Ja'Marr Chase is an easy pick for them. And then Detroit, I think if Chase is sitting there, is a slam dunk as well. I think, Ja'Marr Chase is probably the best receiver I've scouted for in a long time.
Better than Calvin Harmon?
Oh man, that year is just going to hurt every, it hurts every analyst.
I'm like gun shy about watching big wide receivers now because of Calvin Harmon. Calvin Harmon was a big crush of mine. So that was a little bit of an inside joke.
I
still missed on Harmon.
I like him too, but everyone else had Akeem Butler number one. So it's not like, you missed out on one guy for another. That was the tough year. But Chase probably is up there with like Julio and AJ Green and those kind of prospects for me. So I think it'd be a slam dunk. I think if he's gone, Detroit could take Devonta Smith, the receiver from Alabama. And then Carolina, this was pre-Sam Darnold trade. Justin Fields made a lot of sense. I really thought they might move up to 5 and take him. Now, I don't think that'll be the case. I probably would have them taking Rashawn Slater, the offensive tackle at Northwestern, at this point, at that spot.
Joseph was asking, he said, Sewell or Slater? Allegedly, some teams now have Slater above Sewell. So what are your thoughts on that conversation? Is that overthinking it, or is that fair?
I like Sewell a lot more. He's my number two prospect in the class. I think Sewell is a special talent. Both those players didn't play this past year, so you can't say, well, it's just because one didn't play and one did. But I do think that with Oregon's offense, there's a lot of plays that just don't translate, especially for the offensive tackles, to the NFL. And you go back to Northwestern, it's very pro style. You know what you're getting with Rashawn Slater. And it's
Josh Young versus Chase Young, which is
dominated him. Did really, really well. I think the versatility. I think teams like to have a player that can kick inside if they need to. Slater can play he can play center. He can play every position on the line. He can play guard. He can play center. So it wouldn't surprise me if Slater goes first. That might be probably one of those bets I would put a little bit on. You get good odds on it and it's worth it. But I do think that 8 Carolina probably is the spot if Cincinnati passes.
Yeah. Yep. And all right. So let's move on to your next 4. We got Denver Broncos taking Azeez Ojulari, he's a polarizing prospect. Definitely. It seems like Georgia didn't play him as much as a lot of scouts and analysts think they should have. And they think he's going to definitely outperform what he did in college. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say about him. Patrick Surtain going to Dallas, which is pretty – I think we spoke earlier in the week. I think there's 4 guys that could go to Dallas, and I think it's Surtain. I think it's Sewell. I think it's Slater. I think it's Pitts. I think it's one of those 4, whoever's there, that's their taking. So Surtain, great fit. Devontae Smith going to the New York Giants, and then Jalen Waddle going to the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's discuss those 4.
I think Ojulari is going to go pretty high. He's a player that has gotten some buzz at some points, but no, because of how little he played, no one really has him going, top 15. But I think that teams are going to like the athletic talents that he has. And sometimes it happens with edge guys that, they're good pass rushers, so you don't play him all the time. But in the NFL, that's what they want. That's what you need. That's what wins. Who
came out of Georgia a few years ago, went to the Giants? Similar. I'll look at that. You keep going.
But I think he so 9 might be a little high, but I think that the pass rushers go higher usually than we think. And I think that's the key.
It was Leonard Floyd who went to the Bears. I apologize.
Okay. All right. Good. I wasn't going to get that. But I think he is similar to Leonard Floyd. I think it's a good call. I think he maybe even is a little bit more athletic than Floyd was, and he went pretty high. Not as productive as Floyd was in college. So I think it's a fair comparison. Surtain to the Cowboys kind of feels easy. Like I said, we talked about that. I think that it's probably who I'll end up having them take in my final mock as well.
It shatters my dream of Parsons to Dallas, which I've been trying to speak into existence since mid last year. I've been speaking Parsons to Dallas into existence, and I got close, Shane.
Look, it's been a roller coaster from Parsons was up there and they were terrible, and then Dallas started winning and I was jabbing you because they wouldn't be able to take him. We go too high, and now he's going 10 picks later. Which is weird. So, So you never know, right? What's going to happen. It's nuts. Devonta Smith, the Giants, and Waddle to the Eagles. I don't know if the Giants ultimately will take a receiver after signing Galladay, but I still think it's a possibility. Like, there isn't a ton sitting there for them, especially with Evan Ingram's struggles, and they were trying to trade him at one point. So I think if Devonta Smith himself is sitting there, I think that's the kind of player that Dave Gettleman's like, Heisman winning, receiver, I'm in. Like that's the kind of but I think it'd be a good, a good fit for the team. So the Giants, maybe they take Jalen Phillips, maybe that's how it kind of shakes out. But I think Smith is good. I think Eagles are just going to take whichever those Alabama receivers are best. Jalen Rager stinks, and he—I mean, it was one of some of the worst NFL, you know, rookie performances I've seen. Like the
I feel like they should go with Rondale Moore. It's like they wanted—I get Waddle's, you know, better prospect, but like I feel like Rondale Moore is what everybody thought Jalen Rager was going to be, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, you know, just sitting at 5'7" is the problem.
But you know. That's, they like those short, speedy, explosive, you know, but Waddle fits that. He, yeah. He's a short guy. He's super fast. So
No, they do. And look, I think we could be talking about a different, you know, a different player position here. And then Rondale Moore round two for the Eagles. You know, I think that's a possibility too. So I wouldn't put that past them. Ultimately, so I think it's a good call, but I think Waddle should go in the top 15. I'd be really surprised if he falls out of it, which might get tricky of trying to place teams that are going to take receivers in that spot for, you know, for a final mock. But you know, he's I think the NFL is really going to like him, and if he goes above Devonta Smith, that wouldn't surprise me either.
And this draft is very interesting because now your next four. There's possibly two of these four who could just as easily pop into the top 10. And we got Rashawn Slater going to the Chargers, Kwity Paye, edge rusher, going to the Minnesota Vikings, Mac Jones, quarterback, going to the New England Patriots, and then J.C. Horn, cornerback, South Carolina, who has bypassed Caleb Farley, who Ben is in the chat asking about. He's asking how far will Caleb Farley fall, you know, due to the back surgery he had, and you will find out. Because he's a little, this is a little bit of a teaser. He's a little further down in this mock draft board. But tell me about those next four picks.
I think Slater is, as we talked about, as a stud. I think the Chargers picking an offensive tackle, doing, you know, they're going to do what the Bengals should do. And the Bengals are just going to do what the Bengals do. And so they're going to protect Justin Herbert. I think that's going to happen. So maybe it's Sewell, maybe it's Slater, maybe it's Tevin Jenkins. But I think one of those players will go there. Kwity Paye has been the usual pick for the Vikings, which kind of sucks. But sometimes that's who the teams end up taking, you know. So you can't fight against that too much just to be different. I think pass rush is such a huge need for them. Yeah, Mac Jones. I mean, I at this point I thought, well, New England could move up for Mac Jones was kind of my thinking. San Francisco probably going to take him at 3. So if you want to kind of swap Jones and Trey Lance, I think that would make a lot more sense that the Patriots could take Lance here, could move up, you know, into that 8-9 range and take him. I think that would make a lot of sense. And J.C. Horn, I really like J.C. Horn. Like this is one of those positions for my final rankings between him and Surtain. It's going to be close. And I think J.C. Horn's the best man cover corner in this draft.
He's scrappy.
When he's on, there's not a player in college football that could beat him. And now he had some off games, and you know, Surtain I think was much more consistent is a little bit bigger and all that. But I think J.C. Horn's he's going to be a really, really good pro. So I almost want to put him number one I think this guy's going to really, really make it. And Arizona
said he was the toughest defender he had to face in college, J.C. Horn.
There you go. I believe it watching him this season. I mean, he certain games, he was just glued to receivers. That's hard to do nowadays, especially
he's like college. A mosquito. Like they're, you know, I tell when I coach corners and defensive backs, I tell them when you're in man coverage, you want to be annoying. You want to be in their pocket. You want to be a mosquito. And that guy, he's like a gnat, like very persistent.
Yeah, and Arizona's an interesting spot, I think, in the first round because I think Patrick Peterson gone corner, it could be big. I think offensive line is a possibility. But, you know, running back, I think it's where we can see the first running back come off the board if Arizona really wants to go that way. So, and then – you know, so I think they could go just so many different ways. It's a real linchpin of the second half of the first round.
All right. So J.C. Horn going to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, Rich, he's going to be he's either going to be happy or he's going to be frustrated. But whatever he is, he's going to let you know. They're up next. They got Tevin Jenkins, Oklahoma State. Dolphins got Najee Harris, running back, Alabama, the first running back off the board in the first round. The Washington football team have Christian Darrisaw, offensive tackle, Virginia Tech, and I think that's about – I think maybe there's one more offensive lineman who's in that first tier, or first two tiers, and he's right about where that ends. And then after that, Chicago Bears, Christian Barmore, defensive tackle, Alabama. I'm interested to hear how you have Barrymore compared to some of the defensive tackles who have come out of Alabama in years past. Let's start with the Las Vegas Raiders taking Tevin Jenkins.
I mean, I don't know what Rich is going to say, but if the Raiders get Tevin Jenkins, you should be happy. This guy's nasty. He is the nastiest lineman in this class. I mean, he wants to punish. Yeah, he wants to punish. And so I think you could go higher than this. But it's like such a good fit for the Raiders. It's just exactly what they need and exactly who, you know, John Gruden and Mike Mayock are going to really like. So if he's there at 17, I think it's a run to the podium type of pick for them in terms of that offensive line, just how decimated it became this offseason. Najee Harris, I think this is kind of the – I mean, I guess he could go 16 to the Cardinals. I doubt they would take him, but take him specifically. So I think that Miami, they this is a different offense. I think the physical running back is a possibility. I think, you know, my Steelers at 24 are probably going to want Najee Harris. So we'll see if they fall to that. And then, yeah, Darisaw, I think, is in that tier with Tevin Jenkins and Rashawn Slater. That would be a steal for Washington. And Chicago is a little bit tough to pick for if they don't move up for a QB. Barmore is probably the only defensive tackle that I think could go in the first round. He's not as good as some of the past Alabama offensive defensive tackles, excuse me. But he's really good against the run. I think that's what he does well. And gets some decent push in the passing game.
Three Floyd?
Yeah. I mean, I think it could be. I think it could be interesting. All things considered,
right? Because Tre Floyd, I think he came out of Florida, right? Didn't the Bears take him right around that spot? But he was more of a pass rusher. That didn't really pan out. So I think they might be a little gun shy with taking D tackles there. But if he's good against the run, because they just lost their top run defender. He was a free agent and he left to Dallas. So I do know that. So they're definitely in need of a run stuff and defensive tackle. All right, so now Justin's pick is next, so he might be popping in here. We got the Indianapolis Colts taking Samuel Cosmi, offensive tackle, Texas. The Tennessee Titans take my guy, Micah Parsons, which is also funny because I was really high on Rashawn Evans a few years back. Dallas took Van Der Esch. Titans got Evans and both of them. You know, Van Der Esch has been better, but he's been hurt, and Evans has been okay. But anyway, the Titans get Micah Parsons, and then New York Jets get Landon Dickerson, center. Alabama and the Pittsburgh Steelers, your team, Shane, get Quinn Meinerz. So you have them going in the first round. So let's talk about these top four picks. And here's Justin. He's coming in. So he's going to be listening closely and let you know how he feels about it.
Samuel Cosmi is a player I kind of have a love-hate relationship with. Honestly, on film, I'm probably a little down on him compared to the consensus. But as an athlete, he is, you know, top notch. So I think he's one of those players that if the Colts are looking for a future, you know, left tackle, he's a player that can definitely play that blind side. So he feels to me like a player you can plug and play, or if you can develop for a year, I think he's going to, you know, really be really, really good.
Justin?
Hey, I like it. With us losing Anthony Costanzo, I'm pretty excited about trying to rebuild that offensive line for Taylor and whoever our next full-on long-term quarterback is, whether it be Wentz or whoever. But yeah, no, I really like it. I'd love to see them beef up the Colts offensive line. And I noticed later on in the mock draft that you can check out at fakepigskin.com. The Colts, you have the Colts taking a guard late in the draft as well. So yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Matt came in. He just said his TV just got sexier. So Justin brings he brings good looks to this show. So we are grateful of that. All right. So that's your analysis of the Colts there. And then now staying in division, we got Parsons going to Tennessee. So what are your thoughts there?
It's hard to put a spot for Parsons, right? He's so good. What team's going to kind of take the character risk? I think the Titans have shown that they're willing to do that. They need a little bit more pass rush. They need that inside backer, I think, that can cover their pass coverage. They're one of the worst in the NFL for Tennessee. So I think it'd be a good fit, and I think they're kind of swinging for that Super Bowl upside as well. And those are the teams usually that are willing to, you know, take a little bit of risk sometimes.
Vrabel sees a little bit of himself in Parsons.
Yeah, look, I see. That's why I kind of think Vrabel's going to like, you know, like you've talked about, right? Why you wanted him for Dallas. I mean, he's a bully. He's tough. He's going to just go out there to try to dominate everyone he plays. I think Vrabel will like that mentality. And I think the Titans have kind of drafted a lot of those type of players for better or for worse. Look at Isaiah Wilson, you know, but that's the only thing that holds me back is like, well, they took a character concern last year, really blew up in their face. Are they going to, you know, this is not on that level, but, you know, will they do it again?
All right. And then speak on the Jets and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, you know, center is an unsexy position. Landon Dickerson, if it wasn't for the injuries, he'd probably go 10 spots higher than this. But, you know, tore his ACL and has had multiple knee injuries. But I think the Jets probably are looking more for kind of a culture shift, and that's what Dickerson is. I mean, he is like the ultimate leader at the center position. You know, we talked about the RAS relative athletic scores. We had on our podcast, the Debbie Marketplace, we had Kentley Platt come on and talk about them. And he talked about how every position, the RAS it's a good correlation for success, except center. Center doesn't matter how athletic you are at all. So it's just super interesting to me because I think Dickerson is not a super athlete. He probably wouldn't have been had he been able to work out, but I don't think the Jets would care too much. And then Miners was, you know, I kind of correlated this mock draft. This happened with Steel City Insider. I did kind of a different mock for the Steelers, so I kept it the same. I don't think he'll go quite this high. I think the Steelers maybe in round two is a possibility. But I think if Najee Harris wasn't there, I think the Steelers are going to, it's going to be a knife through the heart for them.
Justin had a question. It's gone. Wisconsin Whitewater. They have a campus on a river or something. It's possible. It is possible.
Yeah, a Whitewater River. Yeah, it's what's named after. So,
all right. So next, finally, we have a big faller. So 25 through 28, Jacksonville Jaguars. They get Caleb Farley. All right. So Ben, that's the answer to your question. He fell down to 25 here. The Browns get Ifeatu.
Yeah, this is every time on our podcast I have to say this. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it.
I know how to say his last name because I know his brother. Yeah. His brother came out of UConn, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry. Cut out there, but I was saying, yeah, I know how to say the last name because I know Obi Melifonwu. It was a little bit of a bust. Came out of UConn. All right, and then we got – so there's two very cool names back-to-back. You got Melifonwu, and then we got the Baltimore Ravens taking Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame, which would be very interesting with him next to Patrick Queen. They'd be able to use him very well, so I like that pick. And then the New Orleans Saints with Kadarius Toney, which I have a bet with one of my guys in Shark Tank where you're allowed to bet like your free agency budget that Kadarius Toney isn't going to go in the first round, but you have him in the first round, so I'd lose some free agency budget there. So why don't we start with the Jacksonville Jaguars and Caleb Farley?
Yeah, but Caleb Farley, this is probably where I'll end up having him go. You know, I made the bold prediction that he'd fall in the first round. He did tweet, medical workout was great, so I'm glad he confirmed that. But I don't think we can take him at his word ultimately.
He's a liar?
No, I'm saying he probably doesn't know.
Character concerns. We got character concerns now.
Look, what I'm saying is, like, the doctor's not going to be like, "Oh, this is great. You're going to go top 10 now." You know, I don't think it's how it's going to work. But just the second back surgery, it just gets me. I just wonder if NFL teams and not playing, the fact that he just had the surgery, something's just weird there to me. I don't know. Injuries are the worst part because you don't know. He could
but
go
it screams
top.
A team with a second first round pick, like high upside. Why the hell not?
Right. And if you're Jacksonville, you're not winning the Super Bowl this year. You're not, you know, making the playoffs. Like, that's not the goal. So why not bring him in, let him rest, let him, you know, get better and see what he can do. I think Melifonwu could make it in the first round. There's probably going to be one more corner. We'll talk about Elijah Molden, but I think there's going to be one more corner that goes there. I think Cleveland is a possibility. They need a corner. They need a safety. It's probably what it's end up going to be in my final mock. I think I had him falling probably to the end of the second, which probably won't happen. I'm not the biggest Greg Newsome fan, but it seems like teams are going to be pretty high on him. So, more Northwestern taking over the first round, it seems.
Next year, too. They got some DBs next year.
Everyone was kind of crapping on my Buckeyes for them having problems against that defense. But it's a really good defense, you know. Mm-hmm. Owosu-Koramoah, I think, gives a pass rusher for Baltimore. I think that's something that they desperately need, even bringing Matt Judon back. And then I think you're going to lose your bet. I think Kadarius Toney is going to find his way in the first round. Like, I know the community hates him, and he's going to be that Henry Ruggs kind of player in rookie drafts that falls to round two, and no one wants to take the guy, but he has first-round draft capital. I'll take him. Like, I think the situation – in Florida, the injuries, just how they utilize them. He's probably not going to be a great fantasy player, but it would be a unique pick for the Saints. They don't usually go for this type of playmaker, but I think he could almost play a little bit of that Alvin Kamara role. If Kamara would go down, you know, he can move into the slot. There's a lot they could do with him. Sean Payton always thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Oh, man, so. He would love that. He'd love it. Look at me. Matt, look what I can do with this guy. Yeah. I'll play him everywhere. You know, I'm genius. All right, I like that. So we just had Rich popped in, was asking how likely, what's the chances of Tylan Wallace jumping into the first round?
I don't think it's very good. I think I like Tylan Wallace. Obviously, the production multiple years I think is good, and I think he'll go in that second round mix. But I think he's kind of fallen back a little bit. Just in terms of the athletic ability and the workouts. I mean, his workout was
wide receivers. Like, why they've shown, wide receivers have shown in the past few years that they can come directly into the NFL and produce. And there are so many coming out this year. Why reach for a wide receiver when you can get, unless you're going to get an elite top level one? Like, I like Tylan Wallace a lot, but you got guys like Bateman, Elijah Moore, Terrace Marshall. Like, you got a bunch of guys you can get, you can wait and you can go ahead and get a blue chip somewhere else and then get one of these guys who you will be able to slot in and start day one.
It's the same thing, I think, with offensive linemen. I think we're going to see some O-line fall because teams are going to feel like they can get them in the second. Now, last year, that wasn't the case with receivers. But I think ultimately, I think Terrace Marshall's going to go in the first. He's my guy this year. He's my, you know, I think he's my number two receiver in this class. I think he's going to be a stud. And I think Elijah Moore would probably have a better shot. Bateman, I'm gonna say
probably. I think Moore passes Tony. I think Moore gets picked before Tony.
Yeah, that could happen. I think it could happen. That'll be an interesting fight to watch. I think Bateman and Wallace both fall out of the first, but go pretty soon after.
All right, let's finish up the first round here. We're nearing the end, and I do have a few more questions I want to ask you before we cut this thing out. 29 through 32, we got the Green Bay Packers taking another quarterback. Just kidding. Taking an offensive line, Elijah Vera Tucker from USC. Buffalo Bills taking Elijah Molden. DB Washington, a nickel corner, slot corner. Kansas City Chiefs taking Zaven Collins, linebacker Tulsa. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking Joseph Asai from Texas, edge linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, I think Elijah Vera Tucker could go a little bit higher than this.
I've seen him top 20.
He's probably one of the most athletic on his feet offensive linemen, but I think profiles better as a move zone guard than a tackle, which always makes it tough to kind of place in the first round of who's going to take that guy, but he might play tackle. I think the Packers aren't going to take a receiver, so I think O-line's a real good possibility. Maybe linebacker, you know. I think looking back on this, I probably would have him taking Zaven Collins, but Elijah Molden can play corner, can play safety. You know, there's no real safeties in this first round. It's really tough to place, but I think guys like Farley and Molden could be drafted as safeties. I think Buffalo is a team that could do that. Zaven Collins will go higher than this. Linebackers are just tough to place, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be tricky for me to place exactly where and when he's going to go. So you could even see in my final mock him go kind of somewhere wacky to get him
John
in there.
Jamin Davis, man. We talked before the show. Jamin Davis is going to climb. He needs to be in the first round.
Yeah, I really think I'm going to have Jamin Davis probably going 19 to Washington in my final mock draft. That's probably where I'm going to have him going. If I can find a good place for Zaven Collins, it'll be the question. So I think both those guys will end up going in the first round. Joseph Asai. Tampa's tough. I mean, Tampa's tough. They're tailor-made. Like, they're not going to draft anyone that can help them this year. So I felt like pass rush, they're a little bit thin. They're going to want to build the depth. So I think that's a good spot. But I just really, you know, that last pick of the first round for me is always – who's going to go in the first round somewhere? I just don't know where. Let me just pop them in here.
I could see Tampa moving out of the first because they're so well built to win now, to try to acquire assets later on, maybe free up some cap space. I could see somebody moving in, especially if one of those quarterbacks, falls a little bit, you know, happens to make it to the end of the first round. You know, I could see Tampa moving out. All right, so that does it for the first round. Everybody, you can go to fakepigskin.com, and I'm going to put it in the show notes. It's a 7-round mock draft. We could spend a whole nother hour talking about round two. I do want to let Packers fans know you didn't take a wide receiver in the first round, but you did get Rondale Moore in the second round. So I think you can be pleased with that. We do have a question from Ben, fellow Toilets of Titles member. He wants to know, how do your top 2021 wide receivers compare to your top wide receivers in 2020?
I don't think it's quite as good as 2020 as a whole. I think 2020 was a little bit better, but it's not like that far off. I just feel like this year kind of falls off a little quicker. Ultimately, like, I think Chase, Spiff, Waddle, Marshall are all pretty good. I think the community's a little bit too high on Rondale Moore. Kadarius Toney's like the rugs. He's going to go higher than people have. I think Bateman's good. I think after that, it gets a little bit tenuous. Like, I think Elijah Moore's good, like we talked about Tylan Wallace. But after that, I think it really just falls off fairly hard. Whereas I thought last year was a little more stretched out, a little deeper. So I'd prefer last year's class, which is always easier when you've seen them produce. But
Lamb, you got Justin Jefferson, you got Jerry Jeudy, and then you got, like, I just think, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to ask you one more question. Staying in the college round, we're talking to Debbie, you're a Debbie guy. I had this question, another T2T member. I know it's a little kind of off topic, but not necessarily, because we're talking prospects here. Do you have any advice for Debbie rebuild? All right, does this differ to a normal dynasty rebuild? But before we get into this, Debbie is fantasy football, if you're listening, where you can draft college prospects in your rookie draft. So freshman to senior, you can draft them, keep them on your taxi squad, trade them, whatever. It's basically your rookie draft includes college players. So any advice for Debbie rebuild, and how does this differ from a normal dynasty rebuild?
I think it does differ because you can't just trade for rookie picks and expect to have those top guys. So it becomes much tougher. So you almost have to, in a Debbie rebuild, look much more to the future. I always recommend, if you want to rebuild in Debbie, it's about quantity instead of quality. Trade for a lot of Debbie picks, like tons. Have your team really stink. So you get the 101 in the rookie draft, which usually is a player that falls, Javonte Williams, someone like that, right? So you're going to be able to get that player and take just a ton of Debbie players. Half of them are never going to make it in the NFL. But if you even get a couple that do, your team can really, really switch very quickly. It's funny because I'm in one very vanilla kind of Debbie league with some guys that have played a lot, some guys that haven't. We have an opening if anyone's interested, a pretty bad orphan. But you will get the first pick in the rookie draft.
We did not sell it.
Well, look, the nice thing is you get the 101 in the rookie draft, which is Javonte Williams or Kyle Pitts. You get the 101 in the Debbie draft, as well. So you got Devontae Adams, you got Kenneth Gainwell, Zach Moss, some guys. But if anyone's interested, let me know. But like I'm in that league where you know, I took over an orphan. We had a dispersal. It wasn't going to be a great team. So that's what I've done. Like last year, I took like six Debbie players, some of them good, some of them bad. This year, I have five Debbie picks. Like it's a very old school roster, small rosters. Like my roster is going to be all Debbie players. I'm not even going to have enough players to barely start the year. But that's not my goal. I'm not going to win this year, right? So you look for the future, and if some of the guys that I took, like Eric Gray, running back from Oklahoma, you know, hit, then you know things will turn out pretty well. So I think that's how you have to do a Devy. You can't just trade for those picks and expect a 1-2 year turnaround.
All right, so let's bring Justin back in here. Let's wrap this thing up. That does it for episode number 50. Shane, what is this, your fifth, sixth time on the show, man? I don't know. Haven't been keeping track, but you're definitely probably our most returned guest. I don't know if that's the way you would phrase it, most returned guest, but you return quite often, and we appreciate you for that. So 50 episodes in the book, Toilets to Titles. You can follow the show on Twitter, at Toilets to Titles. I'm at Coach Sheps, at Coach S-C-H-E-P-P-S. Justin is at JustinFF_. Shane is at Shane P. Hallam. Again, he's a fantasy and draft analyst for Fake Pigskin. You can follow them at Fake Pigskin. You can find his mock draft. Again, it'll be in the show notes. I'll be tweeting it out. We're putting it on there at 7 rounds. Go check it out. He's going to get one more out for you prior to the NFL draft. Shane, when can the listeners expect to see that one?
It'll be the day before the draft, probably fairly late. I'll go up to that deadline of those contests and try to get as much information as I can. So be on the lookout on my Twitter account for Fake Pigskin. It'll be out probably the day before morning of.
All right, we're going to be doing another 10-round Dynasty Startup mock coming up here in a few weeks, and I think you might be joining us on that. It's going to be our last one pre-NFL draft, so you're going to be able to see Shane once again closer to the NFL draft. So maybe that'll be out. Maybe we'll be able to discuss it there. We are going to have Matt Waldman on next week. He's going to be helping us talk about top, you know, skill position prospects coming out of this class. And we got good things going on here at Toilets to Titles. We got good friends like Shane who bless us with their time and their knowledge. So, man, it's great to have you. It's 50 episodes in the book. Here's to 50 more. We appreciate all you guys listening. Again, if you want to get into the Frankenstank League where Shane was undefeated, we got two more divisions coming out this year. So that's 14 teams. We got room for 28 people. If you want to get in, hit us with a phenomenal 5-star Apple Podcast review. Send us a picture on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever, so we can check it out. We'll put you in the show notes so we can save it later on. We will add you in there. Get in the Frankenstank League this year. The two additional divisions are called Creature from the Staff Bathroom, because we're staying along the lines of Universal Monsters, but we're playing on it with toilets. And we also got Phantom of the Porta Potty. So Frankenstein, Creature from the Staff Bathroom, Phantom of the Porta Potty, you could be in one of those two. And also the new members of the Toilets to Titles family, they're going to be helping us add to this thing. So Justin, you got anything to say before we head out, my friend?
Yeah, you already threw out the teaser for Matt Waldman. I want to throw out a couple more teasers. We're going to be doing a live show during the first round or the first night of the NFL draft. It's not going to be something we're going to air on the podcast or anything, but if you want to jump on the YouTube and hop in the comments with us and just discuss the NFL draft live as it's happening, we're going to be going over all that. And then also, since Shane's on right now, we'll go ahead and tease that he's coming on the Steelers preseason breakdown show that we're going to have. I'm doing all 32 teams. I have guests lined up for all 32 teams already. I think there's only like a couple left. I still have to line up some guests, but I'm going to start scheduling those. And we're going to start putting that content out as soon as immediately after the NFL draft. So I'm excited about that as well.
All right, Shane, you got anything to plug, anything to say before we head out, my friend?
No, I mean, check me out on Twitter. If you're interested in Devi, you're interested in these college guys, download our podcast. We had John on a month or two ago for a mock draft. We're going to be doing one more here coming up. So that's the Devi Marketplace with Kane Fussell as my co-host. We have a good time there. We've also started a new segment, 1 Minute of History with Shane. So I do a history minute every week now. So started that last week. It was a good time. So, we have a little nonsense in there every week. And
I'm going to have to come on for some Disney history.
Look, that would be good. We have tag team a little Disney minute of something interesting in Disney. That would be cool.
I don't know if I could fit anything into a minute, though. I might be able to confirm.
I don't know if you ever fit anything into a minute in your life, probably. But it's all good. That's why we love you. That's why we do this, right? We like talking too much. So check that out, Steel City Insider. If you're into the Steelers, I'm releasing a bunch of stuff over there. It's been a good year.
All right. Well, everybody, you've heard it. We're wrapping this thing up. Hey, it's spring. Weather's beautiful, at least where I am in New York. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy your family. We appreciate you listening to the podcast. Tag along. We're going to have a great off season, and we hope to be hearing from you listeners more often. We hope to add some of you to our league so we get to play with you, interact with you. And again, here's to 50 more. We'll be catching you later on. Take care.
Hit that subscribe button.